Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Good Monday morning, everybody. Sports Radio 610. It's good to be with you. Sean Bajani and Seth Payne. Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast, who will be back, I would presume, Seth, yes, tomorrow morning.
As long as he didn't get beat up in Pittsburgh.
Oh, man. I did not know that's where he went.
He was at the Steelers game, yeah.
I was going to say.
I was dialed in on the Steelers game yesterday so I could share the experience with him.
I was, too. I was dialed in to everything NFL yesterday, especially so. It's getting late, and these games are getting bigger. They mean more. They're getting more exciting, and, well, you know, at least for the Kansas City Chiefs, it's like more of the same. This is just incredible what they have done and what they are doing over the course of the last month and change.
It's the, how many straight one possession games is it now that they've had? It's a record 15th straight one possession game, which extends the longest streak in NFL history. They won it with the fourth field goal kicker they've used this year,
yeah,
with a doinker. Right off the goalposts, and yeah, there you have it. That's the one. Like a lot of these one possession games that the Chiefs keep winning, I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, they're like the Astros. They get into crunch time, and they have so much experience, and Pat Mahomes is so good in the clutch that there you go. And yet, some of those, it just seems like the football gods are just the preordaining this. The
fact that
you got various field goal clickers doinking it in, and it just feels like we're all screwed.
It does. You know, when the kicker's doing that sort of thing, and that's the fate, and, you know, listening to Mike Tirico last night on the call, where, you know, they're showing the replay over and over again as they're kind of doing the game recap, and he's just constantly like, you know that goalpost, it's about as wide as a dollar bill. Like, that's how close it was. this thing could have gone a lot of different ways. And he described it about three different ways to Sunday. And I'm just like, you know, that's just it. But people are going to gloss over a little bit. Like, okay, it came down to a 31-yard chip shot doinker for their ninth straight AFC West title. But it was also the drive before where, hey, Pat Mahomes had to get him down there again and give them the opportunity. And so that's the part where, as much as people are going to say and have been saying already about this Kansas City Chiefs team, like, well, they look very gettable, and we're going to talk about that later, just how gettable maybe they are, particularly for a Texans team that's going to face them here in a couple of weeks. That's the respect you have to continue to give them, though. As many mistakes as they've made along the way, as many close games as they've played in where maybe you feel like they shouldn't have been so close, they're still winning and putting themselves in position. And that, to me, is the mark of a very dangerous team again.
Well, and I think if you watch Pat Mahomes in that game, he was under pressure all day long. Like, I mean, that's the frustrating thing about the Chiefs is you can look at the Chiefs and make any number of excuses for your own team. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done it with CJ all year long where you say, well, look, CJ's numbers are pretty comparable to Pat Mahomes in a lot of ways. CJ's thrown fewer interceptions, et cetera, et cetera. It's the same thing we saw with Brady for all those years in with the Patriots. It's, all right, the fourth quarter is a different game. It's just it's like a completely new football game almost like if at the end of the third quarter, everybody could go in and watch film for like 6 hours, figure out what happened in the first three quarters, and then go out and act on it. the Patriots do that, or excuse me, the Chiefs do that just as the Patriots did it on the fly. Yeah. And it, like, they might as well have had an 8-hour film session in the locker room, because yeah. they figured you out and they know what they can and can't do. And Mahomes was under as much pressure as he's been all season. He got rid of the ball the second fastest he has all year. And it just, they figured it out. That second game that you play in the fourth quarter, you're up against a much tougher opponent, because they've learned yeah. more than you, and they're more capable than you.
I was laughing at you just a second ago from the Freudian slip of the New England Patriots, because, well, yeah. that was like the creme de la creme for, you know, two decades plus with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And of course, like, they're always going to be the team that you reference for doing great things and doing the little things. And now that has gone away and retired, it is Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs to point to.
And I wasn't watching closely enough. Do you know what Hopkins' injury was, and is it considered serious?
I do not, actually. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I meant to check on that this morning.
We're all ignorant this morning, everybody. This is where you came for your up to date DeAndre Hopkins injury news. You're SOL, everybody.
Yeah, we'll find something. But I would presume, like, anything with some sort of finality, we're not going to know until a little bit later on this afternoon. You know how these yeah. things kind of go with the injuries. But that was just one of the things. And the last thing, you know, that's what I went to bed to last night, was another Kansas City Chiefs dramatic win. But it was just an incredible week, Seth, in the world of sports. I mean, you think about just, hell, not even the weekend, just the last 24 hours. Just another wild and crazy slate of games in the NFL. The Chiefs putting the nightcap on it last night. But you had Baseball Hall of Fame announcements, with Dick Allen and Dave Parker getting announced by the ERA committee that they're going to be in Cooperstown later on this summer. And a historical hot stove coming to a head with Juan Soto in this just ridiculous contract that he's signing with the New York Mets come down last night.
Yeah, Mets. Yeah, just spend it, Mets.
Unbelievable.
I'm cool with the Mets spending. I'm cool with the... For different reasons than I'm cool with the Angels spending. The Angels, it always feels like, all right, well, we'll see what you do with this after you squandered the best baseball player of a generation. They've had two generational talents in a row and done nothing with them. The Mets, it doesn't concern us as much. Right?
No, it doesn't.
Like, you just keep it out of this league and we're okay. I don't have to worry about it. We'll see him, we'll see him once a year at least, but that's about it.
But look, Patrick Creighton is an Astros guy, an Astros yeah. fan. I could say that. However, his allegiance hails from New York, and so
he's a Mets guy.
He's okay. Also a damn Mets guy, so I'm gonna have yeah. to live with that crap.
I respect Mets fans. Mets fans have taken it on like they know what they've done to themselves. Yeah, like yeah, they're do. Just. I appreciate anybody who just chooses to buck the Yankees and not take the easy choice if you grow up in the New York area.
But you know what? This is just another example of like up against it and financially irresponsible as they were. This organization, just like 2 years ago when they bought everybody and they had yeah. Scherzer and they had Verlander and they went on this wild spending spree that offseason to only start the year off like absolutely horrible, one of the worst teams in baseball, to tear it down to here we are again. They give the richest contract in pro sports history out to Juan Soto, 15 years. God bless America. $785 million with escalators, Seth, that could make it an $800 million contract.
I think the biggest thing, and I don't want to get into a big salary cap or luxury tax conversation. It's at 6:08 a.m. on a Monday. But I mean, it's the biggest problem with baseball compared to football is that football, hey, look, okay, the Detroit Lions are the darlings of the league. The Kansas City Chiefs yeah. are the best team. They have been the best team for going on a decade. And the salary cap helps in that regard. Like, mm-hmm. It's undeniable. And baseball is probably never going to get it. But look, Stephen Cohen is a multi-billionaire who loves to collect nice things, whether it be art or baseball players. And it just doesn't matter. how much money he spends. If he's willing to spend the money, then he can continually do all that. Whereas, okay, Jim Crane is going to be, he's not as rich as Stephen Cohen. If he wants to have a more competitive baseball team, he has to go out and work harder at his core business.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to accuse him of not working hard enough. I'm sure he works plenty hard at his core business.
He's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. If you'd like to be a part of the show this morning, hit us up, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can call or text the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610. It is a Texans game week. We've got a short show. This is what drives me crazy. I just told you about great weekends, great sports weekends like this is Monday morning. You come in and you only have a couple hours to try to sift through as much as possible. And you have to sit on a lot of these thoughts, a lot of the things that excite you. But this is a big day for the Houston Texans. It's a big week because there's no more off days. It's boom. You got to this point. You had the bye week and maybe you tried to figure some things out. We're going to hear from head coach D'Amico Ryans later on today. He'll address the media at 12:15 about the upcoming Miami game, which, look, they're coming off of a victory yesterday over the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk a little bit about that one, Seth, but I'm kind of interested in hearing what D'Amico has to say today and what kind of tone this press conference is, because I feel like coming off of that Aziz Alshire debacle and, you know, everything that was this past week that we've discussed, and I'm sure we'll continue to do so, this press conference today can kind of set the tone for the week and exactly who this Texans team over the course of the next month plus is going to try to be who they need to be.
Right, and I would say it seems almost the last couple of weeks leading into the bye, I hate to body language read too much because you just, it's fraught with peril. You know, you just read your own biases into it. And yet it did feel to me like in press conferences and by their play on the field that the Texans were running on fumes in a lot of ways. I don't want to make excuses for the Titans game or anything else, but it just, the late bye week, for the first time in my life watching and playing in the NFL, I really cared about the bye week this year because, man, having a late bye week really seems to have started to take its toll versus the Texans those last couple weeks. So, for one, you know how distance runners will taper off a couple weeks leading into a big race? I feel like, okay, this bye week could be kind of like tapering off. I treated it like that myself, Sean. I upped my carb intake. I tried to stay off my feet.
Yeah.
You try to just top off the energy reserves for what's going to be an endurance event. It's come Sunday, you've got 11 days to play 3 football games versus 3 very competitive football teams, 2 of which are the best in the league, but 3 very competitive football teams. Yeah, I just hope we get a re-enlivened and reinvigorated Texans team that they're still going to have all the same problems they had going into it.
Yeah.
But I need juice, man. I need juice.
Yeah.
Alshire's incident may ultimately, in a lot of ways, have kind of helped in a couple of regards. One, maybe it's something to rally around and focus on.
Yes.
You know, like free Aziz and all that. But two, it did shift all the attention away from Bobby Slowick and from all these other things that we've been wringing our hands over for the last few weeks.
Yeah, it shifted the attention, but we're going to go right back to that if, in fact, come Sunday afternoon at NRG, there's not at least somewhat of a discernible difference in terms of what we're watching from this Houston Texans team offensively and defensively, for that matter, on the field against the Miami Dolphins. We'll talk about that when we return. 713-572-4610. If you want to be a part of the show, you can hit us up on Twitter as well. Follow Seth at Seth C. Payne on Twitter, at Sean Bajani for myself. What do we have to fear from the Miami Dolphins? That and more next at Sports Radio 610.